message, I used a word that was not well received. And for that, I would like to apologize. I won't say the word. But yeah, I do know it offended people, and sincerely from my heart, I would like to apologize that caused offense. I don't come here to cause offense. I come here because of love, because I care about you guys, and I want you guys to know him, and I want you to walk in the light as he is in the light. And yeah, so I'm sorry for using that word, and I promise you it won't happen again. Cool? Sound okay? Good? All right. So, oh, thank you. That's good, because with the year of Jubilee and forgiveness and all that and the cancelling of debt. before I get to my message, I actually would like to pray for a little bit and just really invite the Lord into this place that he would teach us and minister to us. So just bow your heads for a moment as I seek the Lord. Father, we come here on purpose. With intention to know you and be closer to you. I thank you, Father, that you have given us the Holy Spirit, that we may know you and see you, follow you, and be with you. Father, I pray right now that you would come. It says in the Word of God that we have one teacher, that it is you who speaks through a man. I pray, Lord God, that as we open up the Word of God, that you would just explain things to us, and that you would teach our hearts, Father, to know you and be with you. Lord Jesus, we thank you that it is the will of God for us to know you intimately. And we rely on you, not our intellect. We rely on the Holy Spirit to come to us and show us the way. We need you, Father. We humble ourselves before you, that we don't know you without the Holy Spirit. So please come. Please come and teach us and be with us. In your name I pray. Amen. Cool. So the first verse that I want to dig into comes from John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. It was read before, and we're going to read it again. So a bit of context on what's been going on in this chapter. So this is John chapter 8. In John 7, you have the blind man that has his eyes opened, and the Pharisees grab a hold of him and they interrogate him and you say, who did this? How did this happen? And he says, I don't know. All I know is his name was Jesus, and he healed me and he opened my eyes. And so the Pharisees are in this kind of hot, angry place. And in John 8, you have, they bring this woman caught in the act of adultery. He does the whole, do they not condemn you? Then neither do I. And then they leave. And then after that, you have this big dispute between Jesus Christ and the Pharisees, right? So this verse is in the context of a big dispute, right? And Jesus puts out this line here that is a very well-known scripture, and for good reason. It says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, for me personally, this is a really big verse because it's talking about freedom. My dad once said to me that I should go through the Bible and highlight everywhere it says freedom, or where the promise of freedom is mentioned. I like this verse because it's like an anchor, and it keeps me grounded in the Word of God, that there is only one way to be free, and that is to know the truth. Because if you know the truth will set you free. And as I've gone through my life, I personally have tried to get free many other ways other than knowing the truth. You know, I've tried through, there's all sorts of stuff out there, and I'm not going to go through all of it, but probably the biggest one is my own strength and my own ability, trying to control my life and control my desires and trying to get free that way. But it has not worked, and it does not work, because there's only one way to get free, and that is to know the truth. So the point I'm trying to make here is the truth is a really, really big deal. It's really important that we know the truth. Like, we need to kind of be like, what is the truth? I want to know the truth. How do I know the truth? Like, we've got to kind of want it and desire it and see its value, right? And, you know, it says here, you know the truth and the truth will set you free. And, you know, this is actually a pretty big theme in the Gospel of John. I mean, it's a theme throughout the whole Bible, but you know, John really has some verses that really focus on this and give encouragement that it actually is the will of God for us to be free, that he wants to change our lives. And, you know, every now and then I need to hear that for my own sake. I need to hear that God is actually wanting to work with me, that he wants to walk with me and change my life. I get encouragement out of that because so often it feels like nothing's changing and I'm just going to be like this way always. But that's not the truth. You know, before I met Christ, I've mentioned a few times here, my life was just darkness and brokenness and slavery. And I was in bondage. And I had a mindset that was darkened, filled with unbelief. I had this belief, which was a lie, so it's not true, but I believed a lie that my life would never change, that I would always be stuck here. What the Word of God says is no, that is not the truth. The truth is that you can be free, and it's by knowing the Christ, knowing him, right? So, the truth. You've got to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And this brings me to our second scripture, which is in John 14, starting from verse 15. So 14, verse 15, where it says this: if you love me, keep my commands. If you love me, keep my commands. I'm going to read more in a moment, but I want to stop there for a moment and share my experience with this verse. This verse used to condemn me because I was once living very much in love with God, but I wasn't keeping his commands. And I was like going, God, I love you, I love you. But I kept falling and stumbling and going, Father, I love you, I love you. But kept falling over and stumbling. And it went on for so long that I got to a point where, do I actually love you? Because the Word of God says that if I love you, then I'll keep my commands. And it condemned me. It kept me in this place of feeling like, well, maybe I don't love God. But that wasn't what was going on. You see, I didn't go to the next verse. You see, it says, if you love me, keep my commands. But it didn't say keep my commands in your own strength. The next verse says this: and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. And who is that advocate? The Spirit of Truth. So what I didn't realize at the time was that I needed the Holy Spirit in order to keep his commands. I was trying to do it in my own ability, and I kept stumbling and kept making mistakes. And no wonder why. I was doing it in my own understanding. I was doing it in my own way. I had a sincere heart. I truly loved God, but I was doing it in my own way, and I went off all astray, and it was a big mess. But when I caught on to the Holy Spirit, and I started learning from him, man, he starts teaching my heart. He starts ministering to me and showing me a better way of going. So he's called the Spirit of Truth. So do you see how these connect? You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And he's called the Spirit of Truth. So if you want freedom, then you need the Spirit of Truth. It's like that scripture that says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Spirit gives freedom because he's the Spirit of Truth. It says next that the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. So when did we receive the Holy Spirit? Well, I'm just going to quickly switch over to Titus chapter 3. And it talks about when we receive the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to read verse 3 of chapter 3, where it says, "At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another." That was my past life, right? "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy." Right? "He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior." So when did we receive the Holy Spirit? The very moment that you gave your life to the Lord and you called on his mercy, the Holy Spirit was poured out into your heart and you have received the Holy Spirit. It's yours. It's already yours. It was given to you through your rebirth. It's the free gift. It's the helper and the advocate. So you've already got him. You don't need to do anything to earn the Holy Spirit. It's been a free gift poured out generously into your heart. But here's the thing, right? Because in Luke chapter 11, it says, right? "Although you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So there's kind of two things going on here. There's the side where you've already received the Holy Spirit, but then in Luke 11 it's saying, ask for the Holy Spirit. So how do these two connect? What's going on here? Well, my interpretation is that you have received the Holy Spirit, and what you're asking for is the awareness of the Holy Spirit, to have an awareness of his presence. You've already got his presence, but we need to be aware of it and have an understanding of it and walk with it. That's how I understand. And it's good to ask for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you reveal yourself to me? Help me to walk with you and know you intimately and live my life with your help, hearing your voice. So you've received the Holy Spirit. And then it comes to verse 18, where it says this, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." So what's going on in this time is that Jesus is getting ready to depart and go back to the Father. He's been on the earth for about 3 years. He's done his miracles. He's done his teaching. And he's about to head off back to the Father. Jesus is getting out of here. "See you later, guys. I'm going back to the right hand where I'll intercede on your behalf." So Jesus will no longer be on the earth. But he's saying, even though I'm leaving, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So although he leaves, he gives us the Holy Spirit. So even though Jesus isn't actually on the earth anymore, he has given us the Spirit of Jesus. "Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and I in you." So do you see the intimacy that we have with the Father through the Holy Spirit? That we will be in him and he will be in us, and it's just going to be this awesome ball of love and intimacy and oneness. That it's through the Holy Spirit we are one with the Father. That we are his children. "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. So how do you get to know the Father? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is everything. He's how we see the Lord. It's how we get a revelation. So, before we had the Holy Spirit, we lived in darkness, right? We fell and our minds were darkened and we didn't see truth. And then Jesus Christ comes into the world being the truth. And what do they say when they saw Jesus? Who are you? And what are you? He is unrecognizable, even though we were made through him and for his purpose. See, when our minds are darkened, we don't have faith, we don't have belief. But the Holy Spirit comes and gives us understanding that we can look at Jesus and understand him, know who he is and follow him. So the key word, right, is revelation. Are you familiar with that word, revelation? Revealed knowledge. See, Paul talked about how he had a ministry and that how truth had been kept hidden since the beginning of time. And that truth was Christ Jesus living in us. And Paul's mission was to bring the revelation of Jesus Christ. So revealed knowledge is when the Holy Spirit comes to you and shows you something that is spiritual, that you cannot learn by your own understanding. So if we want to learn from the Holy Spirit, we've got to switch off this and start looking in here and start learning what's the Holy Spirit teaching me through the scriptures. Because when we try and figure things out intellectually, we're relying on our own understanding. The way that I explain this to people is this. Imagine, let's put it in my context, that a girl walks up to me and gives me her number, right? What's she communicating to me in that moment? That she wants me to talk to her. She's giving me her number, right? Now imagine this, that God the Father puts the Holy Spirit in you. What's he communicating to you? That he wants to reveal himself to you. That he wants to show you spiritual realities, that you may walk in the truth. He's communicating to you that he wants a relationship with you. He's giving you the Holy Spirit for a purpose, and that's that you would know him. All right, so we're going to read through one of my favorite sections of Scripture that talks about God's wisdom revealed by the Holy Spirit, right? And thank goodness that the Word of God has been given to us, that we can actually learn these things. And what you're going to find is actually very easy because he's done all the work for you. Right, so I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 onwards. And I have slides for this section of Scripture. All right. Verse 6 says, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing." So the message that comes through the Holy Spirit is not a message that you're going to find in the world. It's going to be a different message, right? So if you have an attitude of, I know everything, then you are unteachable because you know everything. But when we come to the Lord seeking, Father, I don't know everything. I've been wrong about actually everything. I need you to show me this message, this new message that I've never heard except by through you. When you've got that kind of heart, you're opening up your heart to hear from the Holy Spirit. He's come to teach you a message that you've never heard before, to show you realities that you've never seen before. And if you're going to learn from the Holy Spirit, you've got to acknowledge, I'm wrong, and I need to be taught. It is not the message of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, right? A mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. So this message has been hidden, right? It's been buried. And the Holy Spirit comes along to dig it up and give it to us. It's a hidden message that's only revealed by the Holy Spirit. None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Just hold there for a moment, right? No mind has conceived it. No eye has seen it. No ear has heard it. The things that God has in store for you. You cannot figure this thing out without the Holy Spirit. It says it right here in Scripture. These things are not revealed by natural knowledge. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. You must go to him and learn from him. Look here what it says in the very next verse. Come on, this is good. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. That's in verse 11 or verse 10. Who reveals truth? The Holy Spirit. That's why I love the Holy Spirit so much. Because he did something for me that no one ever could. He revealed to me Jesus Christ. He showed me Jesus Christ. And he showed me who I was through Jesus Christ. That if you want to know that you're forgiven, if you want to know that you're a new creation, if you want to know what Jesus has done for you, the Spirit of God's got to come along and reveal it to you. And he's willing to do it. If you have your heart open for it. But if you're stuck in a place of I know everything, he can't teach you because you know everything. You don't actually know everything. You're in pride and arrogance, and we've all been there and we all know what that's like. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So the Spirit has unlimited access into God. He knows him perfectly. Because he is of God. Nothing is off limit to the Spirit. He has unrestricted access to all things. So the Spirit who has unrestricted access to God lives in you. Which means you can have unrestricted access to the things of God. There is nothing he'll keep hidden from you if you will seek him diligently. Doesn't the Bible say that? That if you seek me, you'll find me? I think that's one of the things that people really struggle to believe as I preach the Word of God and I talk to people. And I understand that people don't really believe that if they seek God, they'll find him. But no, if you seek God, you will find him. You will learn because the Spirit of God will come to you and reveal truth to your heart. And you go, oh my goodness, I get it. It's a revelation. And that's the revelation that you're going to build your life on. Verse 11 says, for who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Now catch this second half here, okay? Because this is the purpose part. This is God's will. So that we may understand what God has freely given us. So how does this all work together? When we believe in Christ Jesus, we were forgiven, debt cancelled, new creation. It all happened in one go. In one moment, boom, I make all things new. Right? But we may not understand that. It's all happened. But there's a process of unraveling that gift and learning that gift. You see, there's a different types of revelation. You see, for a long time, I had the revelation that I was forgiven. I knew without a doubt, I'm loved and God forgives me and he cares for me. But I didn't have a revelation that I've become a new creation and that I don't have to live my old life anymore, that I get to live this new life. That's a greater revelation. And as I've been preparing this message, God's been speaking to me about the importance of having a revelation. So I'm going to pull out an example here and kind of work through slowly what I want to communicate, because this has been a really big deal for me. So I want you to imagine two layers, up here and down here. And there's a scripture in Isaiah that says that my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. So down here, you have the way of the world. That's all your own natural understanding, how you perceive things, the truth that you believe. And everything down here is a lie. All right? But then up here, you have the Spirit. This is where you are loved, you're forgiven, you're a new creation. God wants to reveal himself through you. This up here is the Spirit. And what he does right is he reveals to us what's up here, that we may grab a hold of it and live up to it. But if you have no revelation and you're unaware of what's going up here, then you can't grab a hold of it. So let me give you an example, right? In John 6, it says, do not worry, right? It says, because your Father loves you and you're worth more than many sparrows. So you can grab that truth and believe it, have a revelation. Oh my goodness, I don't need to worry. God loves me. He cares for me. He's for me, not against me. I'm not going to worry ever again. And because you have that revelation, you go into circumstances in life, and although things look bad, you don't worry because you know the truth. Why would you worry when you know in your heart that God loves you and is for you? That's what a revelation does for you. But now let's say that you don't have that revelation and that you don't know that the Father loves you and you don't know that he's going to provide for you. All you have is down here, and you go into a hard situation. And what do? You freak out. You worry. You fall apart. You go into crisis mode because you have no revelation to grab a hold of. So you've got to know the truth and grab a hold of it. Let me give you another example. When we stumble and fall, before I had a revelation of his grace and his love for me, if I stumbled and I fell into sin, it was 3 weeks of me beating myself up. I would condemn myself and go into destructive mode, and I would just ruin my life. Oh, you're worthless. You have no value. You're this, 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 and this, and this. That was how I dealt with sin. But when I have a revelation of there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, my response is different. When I stumble and I fall, this is what I do now. Father, I know that's not your will for me. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you that this is not my value, that this is not my life. And tomorrow, I'm going to get up and I'm going to keep walking with you because I know that you're for me and not against me. See, it's really important that you have a revelation because it changes the way that you deal with life. Is that explained well enough? Are you guys with me? How do you get a revelation? Well, it says in verse 13, this is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. Now, these scriptures are hard. They're deep scriptures, don't you know? These scriptures that I'm talking about, they're not surface-level scriptures. There's a depth to it. And if you really want to grab a hold of what it's saying, you're going to have to meditate on it. You're going to have to read it a couple of times. You're not just going to hear my sermon and go, oh, yeah, got that. We can move on. Now, I actually do recommend that you go and you have a look at these scriptures. So let me share what I have learned from what it's saying here. Because I find that not many people think they hear from God. And I want to prove to you that you hear God much more than you think you do. Right? So let me explain this in a way that I think is a perfect explanation. I don't think you can argue with it. So let me give it a crack, and if you find holes in it, then let me know. But this is the first time that I've shared this. So So let's say we have agreed, haven't we, that you can't learn anything except by the Holy Spirit. We agree on that, right? The Word of God says it, we're rock solid. So if you're reading the Word of God and you learn something about God, where did that come from? The Holy Spirit. So if you have learned anything about God, you have heard from God because you couldn't have figured it out on your own. So if I'm speaking and something speaks to your heart, it's not me, that's God speaking to you. If you've been with a brother or a sister and they've spoken to you, and man, that really impacted my heart and brought me closer to the Lord, you just heard from God. If you've been reading scripture and something explodes in your heart, you just heard from God. So you do hear from Him. Don't you think that's a pretty good explanation? How do you argue with that? Because you couldn't have figured it out on your own. That's impossible. It says in scripture that's impossible. So you do hear from God when you open the scriptures and you meditate and something explodes in your heart and it speaks to you and encourages you and brings you close to the Lord. The Father's always speaking. He's always communicating to us. And I think we hear God much more than we realize. If anything is edifying, if anything is encouraging, it comes from the Lord and you do hear from Him. You just don't recognize it all the time. I think that's pretty rock solid. Yeah, okay, cool. So verse 14. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolish and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. So, if you start, you know, reading the Word of God and it starts changing your life and starts moving the direction of your life, you used to go this way, but now you're going this way because God's speaking to you, well, there's a really positive side to that, is that you're now walking in the light as He walked in the light. But there's the other side, which is you're going to come across as foolish to those who don't have the Holy Spirit. And as the world looks at your life, they're going to think foolish. But not only that, because although we all have the Holy Spirit, we can choose to listen to Him or not to listen to Him. And it may be that there are those in the church, in other churches, or just in the body of Christ in general, who aren't listening to the Holy Spirit, but you are, and you're following His direction. To your own brothers and sisters, you may also come across as foolish. Yes? Yes? Yeah. Sure. What do I mean by foolish? Good. So, well, a real basic example would be generosity. You know? I mean, the Lord speaks about being generous with your money and giving. And may I tell you, I mean, there have been times when I've given my Bible away because the Lord put it on my heart to do that. And I love my Bible. Man, I don't want to give my Bible away. But I gave my Bible away. And out of my excitement, man, I gave my Bible away. I told a few people. And the response I got was, why would you do that? That's ridiculous. That's crazy. So there's a very shallow example right there. But then there's also the other side of, like, I mean, going back to that example of do not worry. I mean, man, you go through life and you're not worrying. You just trust in God. People look at you and go, what's going on with you? And it's not necessarily a bad thing to look foolish. You're supposed to look different. And, you know, there's two things that can happen. They're going to judge you and put you off and run from you because you're shining and the light is exposing what's going on in their heart. They don't like that. They're going to run from you. But there's the other side where people look at you and go, man, you're not worrying, but you're actually going through a crisis and yet you're not worrying. That's foolish to me. What is going on in your heart? And so that can actually lead people to the Lord. It's good to look foolish, but you are going to look different. If you read this Bible, man, it is contrary to the world. It is totally upside down. I mean, forgive your enemy and pray for them? You don't do that in the world. You it's eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You hit me, I'm going to hit you. But I'm going to hit you worse in a place that really hurts. That's the world. But Jesus Christ is saying, pray for your enemy. Love them. Lay down your life for them. It's like, what? That's foolish. That's crazy. That's God. That's the Holy Spirit. See, it is foolish. You're going to look crazy, but man, you look like God, and that's pretty good to me. But yeah, there'll be two responses. There'll be people will be drawn to you and your life and be like, what is with you? And they'll want to know more, and their hearts will be open, and you can just share the gospel with them. Or there'll be the other side where your life is exposing their sin, and they will put their walls up and they'll run from you. And I've seen both. I've seen both. Right. Yes, yeah, so the message is foolishness. So going back to give a bit of scripture to answer your question. So if you go back to chapter 1, and if you read from verse 27, I'll read up until the end of the chapter where it talks about it. So you can find it in scripture. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. That was a lot, wasn't it? That scripture. If you want to understand it, like I said, you're going to have to go on and meditate on it. But here, this is what it says later, right? It is because of him that you are in Christ, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. So what is wisdom and what is foolishness? Well, when we fell, our minds were darkened and we no longer saw truth. We no longer saw our value. We no longer saw the value of other people around us. But then Jesus Christ comes to the world and we once again, we see our value. We see that we are righteous. We see that we are made for holiness, and we see that we have become redeemed. And we have now a new wisdom that's revealed through Jesus Christ. So that's the scriptural answer to your question. Verse 15. The person with the Spirit makes judgment about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgment. So as you receive the Holy Spirit and you read the Word of God with the Holy Spirit, all your thoughts start channeling through your revelation. It becomes your new perspective. So Jesus said, don't worry about the speck of sawdust in someone else's eye. Get the plank out of your own eye. And I believe he'd be talking about perspective. Get your own eye sorted first, and then you can help someone else see clearly. Right? So when you get your plank out of your eye, what's the plank? It's unbelief. It's worldly wisdom. It's the way that seems right to the fallen man. If you get your unbelief out of the way and you start viewing things through the Word of God and what the Spirit has taught you, you're gonna put your whole life through that. You're going to discern through the Word of God, and you'll see things clearly, right? So here we are. This is an awesome promise, and it's the last verse of this message. For who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So we lost our minds through the fall. We no longer saw clearly. We were blind and we were darkened and we were stuck in unbelief. That Jesus Christ has come now and he reveals truth. I am the truth. I am the way and I am the life. We look at Jesus and we see truth again. And when we look at him and we agree with that and we agree with our minds, then we have the mind of Christ. And if we think the way God thinks, then we're going to live the way that Christ lives. So how do you have the mind of Christ? Read the Word of God with the Holy Spirit. Okay, that summarizes my message. Cool. I'm going to close in prayer now, and I'm just going to thank the Holy Spirit. And as I pray for myself, I'm also praying for you guys, even though I say I thank you for what you've done for me. What I mean by when I say me, I mean all of us. So I'm praying with all of you. Sounds good? Cool. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you did not leave me as an orphan, but that you came to me through the Holy Spirit, and that you pulled me out of darkness, that I may know the truth and be with you. Father, it says that those who love you will keep your commandments, and that you will send an helper. Father, I just acknowledge my own weakness right now, that I need your help through the Holy Spirit. Would you please come and teach me your way? Would you please come and reveal the Word of God to my heart that I may live to it? I want to shine, Father. I want to be free. I want to walk as you walked, Father. I want to love as you loved. You promised me freedom, that if I know the truth, then I will be free. So, Father, bring us all the Word of God. Bring us the truth. Help us to see clearly, Father, and leave behind the foolish message and grab a hold of wisdom. I thank you, Father, that you want to reveal yourself through me. We glorify you in all things, that we have one teacher, and that teacher is the Holy Spirit. Please minister to our hearts, Lord. In your precious name, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.